I'm Maria Dudzak, and on this Monday, we are having a gardening call-in show. Joining me this morning is Lee Skidmore, and the topic today is kind of broad, but pests in your garden and protecting your garden. So talking about a variety of things. And again, thank you so much for showing up here this morning, Lee, to share your knowledge.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. We are going to talk about protecting your garden from pests. And pests could be the neighbor's kids, slugs, insects, deer, bears, cats, dogs, whatever's going by could be a pest. The Garden Dictionary defines a pest as something in your garden that you don't want there.
Which is pretty broad.
That makes it very broad, yeah. So, and then we'll talk about some solutions, which could be chemical, manual, or unusual home solutions. So.
Okay. Was there a topic you wanted to start off with first?
Well, we can talk about, let's do slugs. Everybody hates slugs. Let's start there.
There are a few slug fans out there, believe it or not. Not in their garden, but just.
Well, I think they're beautiful.
And they have a purpose.
They do. They, eat stuff and then aerate your garden, add nutrients to it. Yeah.
Even but they do eat all your plants.
They will if you let them go. Yeah. And I think we're seeing a new slug in town. I've got some little tiny grayish green ones. They don't look like baby slugs. They just look like something different. So I don't know what those are.
Hmm.
But I haven't been catching them and examining under a microscope. So I could be all wrong.
Well, I was going to say, if you do get one, maybe you could take it to a
slugologist
perhaps. There are people out there who probably know.
Oh, I know, I know. And, you take a picture of it, put it online, and somebody will give you all the information that you need. Okay, to help with a slug problem, if you plant more blooming flowers, the birds will come, and birds eat slugs. They don't eat enough, but they do eat them. And then we know to keep the soil in our garden clean, the surface soil clean, so that there's nothing for the slugs to hide under. And if you have a compost pile, you need some kind of a barrier between the compost pile and your garden. And what I've asked, and most people have said, they put chemical for slug bait right there because it doesn't get in the garden. It keeps the slugs that are near the compost there.
Can you keep slugs out of your compost? Because I've noticed that as slugs in compost piles. And what can you do?
Well, I have an old microwave in my oven, in my garage, and I will take what I think is...
Bake the soil.
Yeah, bake the soil. You don't want to make it hot enough to kill the microbes, but you can kind of toast the slugs. And then they're still, and you can pick them out. But...
So when you're compost, you check your compost before you're putting it.
Yeah, you don't want to put big slugs in there. And if they're in there, you want to keep them in there. And then as you pull out the bottom of the soil, you can look through and see slugs. And I think since they, when we see them right at the surface, I don't know that they go down, 4 feet to the bottom of the compost pile. But if I suspect, or earwigs, I toast my soil.
Interesting. Okay. So moving back to your end of the slug discussion.
Cornmeal. People have had great success putting cornmeal in little jars and then tipping it so that the mouth of the jar is near the soil but slugs can crawl in because something in the cornmeal kills them. And you need to tip the jar enough so that the cornmeal doesn't get wet. And then when it's empty, you just fill it up again and...
So they basically eat it
and crawl away and die.
Okay.
Yeah. I assume that because cornmeal is very dry, that it would absorb water out of their stomach or maybe, I don't know. But anyway, people are saying do that. Copper strips, we know copper strips, those can be expensive. I've seen people glue copper pennies around the lip of the pot or right at the soil line, and then that keeps slugs out, or put 5 or 6 pennies around the base of the plant because then they have to cross that to get to the stem. And so that sometimes helps. Diatomaceous earth adds calcium to your soil. It's used in like water filters, hot tub filters, and it's sharp.
And they don't like that.
They don't like that. You know, what they crawl around on is their foot. And if it irritates the foot, whether it be sharp or acid or whatever, they don't like that. And they get away from it. Coffee grounds, I like. I put that in my strawberry. I just make a layer of coffee grounds under the strawberries. And I, knock on wood, have very few slugs eating my strawberries. My problem with the strawberries is birds eating the berries. And I read online where this woman was having the same problem, and she was in England, and she painted rocks that looked like strawberries, and she puts them out when the strawberry, you see the blossoms start to come out. She puts the red, paints them to look just like a strawberry. She places these rocks around the base of the plant, and the birds peck on the rocks, and I guess they eventually learned that you can't eat that, and then when the real strawberries come out, they're not pecking in that area. And I've had that work. So crushed eggshells, you can put them in the blender if you want fine ones. Put them in with water and blend them up and then pour that around the plants. You know, if you have a source for a lot of eggs, that works. You can buy...
And that is good for the soil as well?
It is very good for the soil. It adds calcium to the soil. And then you can buy, commercially, you can buy slug repellents or slug bait. My suggestion is that you buy bait made with iron phosphate because that's not as toxic as the, I don't know what the word is, metal halide or metal dialate or something like that. But iron phosphate is the safest one to use. But you want to make sure that cats and dogs and kids stay away from any chemical that you put in the garden. Okay.
All right. So that's
that took care of our
slug
slugs.
Discussion.
We solved it. And I've noticed that the change in garden, you know, keeping your garden safe is not eradication of the pest. It's managing the pest. And so the scientists are saying because of warmer, colder, wetter, drier, the change in temperatures and moisture, that slugs or insects can be out and about all year round instead of just part of the year. So we're learning to manage, not eradicate.
And I will also point out, this is a call-in show, so if you have a tip you'd like to share or have any questions, you can give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723.
Yeah. Another pest that people were complaining about recently is aphids and what an increase they've had in aphids, especially in the greenhouse. So in looking that up, they talk about, you know, they have a pointed mouth and they stick it into the plant stem and they suck the juice out. And then the plant new growth is deformed and it won't produce tomatoes or peppers or whatever you want it to do. I didn't get a list of plants that were most susceptible to aphids, but you see aphids on everything. You can start when the infestation is new with a strong stream of water from your hose and wash them off the plant. You can use insecticidal soap. Safers is a good soap to use. It's like dish soap. I know you could probably go online and get a recipe for Ivory or Dawn or whatever and spray that and then leave that on for a bit because that washes that waxy covering on the aphids off and so that they die. You can also, if it's a small infestation, pinch them off with your fingers and squish them between, and they get a little bit sticky after you've squashed a few. You can also use a Q-tip dipped in alcohol and rub that on the plant to, you know, wipe the aphids off. But if you do that, you need to make sure that you wash that off. And you need to hold the plant, turn it upside down if it's in a container, a small enough container, and get the back side of the leaves because that's where many of them hide.
Now, you mentioned that they have like a long nose or whatever and that they suck out.
Yeah.
So once they're on your plant, is it too late? Are you just basically trying to save the rest of your plants?
I'm trying to save the rest of the plant. Excuse me. You don't want any more damage to occur. And I would think if it's one or two or six or ten that the plant would recover easily from that. But you want to you know, it's like watching a kid. You got to watch them all the time to make sure that they're not being harmed by something. And if it's an aphid, you need to work quickly and you need to get it early because they multiply like rabbits, I guess.
Like aphids.
Like aphids, right. And when you're spraying with a pesticide or Safer Soap or just with water, don't spray in the hot sun of the day. And out, we don't have hot sun, but the water on delicate plant leaves will burn the plant. So early in the morning is the best time to spray. And then some people were covering the plants early on before the aphids arrive with the row covers. You know, they're porous, light goes through, air goes through, and they put something on them to hold them to the soil so that then bugs can't get in there. That's my slug, my aphid report.
And do aphids, well, you said before they arrive, are they migratory, so to speak, or they hatch at a particular time?
I think they hatch. I think they, you know, in greenhouses especially, or inside the human's home, they can overwinter because it's warmer and drier and there's nothing in there to eat them. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a list of birds that eat aphids, but something must.
Mm-hmm.
I think, is it ladybugs that carry them off and rub them and they secrete a sweet solution, and then the ladybugs drink the aphid sweetness?
I'm not sure.
Biology was a long time ago. Okay, so that ends with aphids. People complained about the rain damaging their plants. If it's a new plant, it should have some kind of a protection. You can use the row, put hula hoops in your yard, and then cover that with, you can use plastic, you can use like something like cheesecloth so it's porous enough that rain and sun and air can go through, and that will protect the new seedlings. You can also put like a sheet of Lexan plastic from an old greenhouse over it if it doesn't sit on it so that it will protect it from the hard rain. Older plants, I don't really worry about those. They seem to manage on their own. But, I mean, I'd never heard of protecting plants from rain. I did buy clear plastic umbrellas that I want to put over some plants.
Hmm.
You know, like romaine lettuce. So it's not, I don't know why I thought romaine would be ideal, but I wanted to try to see if it would work. It would keep the plant dry most of the time. I think with zucchini squash it would work because it might, if you can push it down low enough in the soil, heat up the area for the squash, and you might get more squash. But I thought that was really a unique idea, and it's, you can buy online at Amazon dozens, you know, in a pack of these clear plastic umbrellas, and they're very dome-shaped, not like the umbrellas we use around here to keep the rain off. These must be for decoration, dance, or something. But I thought that was something to try.
And so, it seems that, what was it that, I think we discussed this last year or before about putting like a plastic jug or plastic bottle over or something like that?
Like the plastic milk carton, you can cut that so you can push that down into the soil to protect the seedlings as they're coming up. You can buy glass cloches to cover plants. That's quite popular in London. To have these glass dishes out there. If you had a big enough, wide enough open mouth jar and you wanted to protect a few things, you could do that. But I mean, people come up with the best ideas.
And then obviously they will need water.
Right,
And sun and such. So, would you then like lift up the jar, water them, put the jar back, or?
I don't think we need to water like other places do. I think
it'll get there. The moisture.
If it's raining, the ground gets wet and it will, water runs to the driest area, so that would help water it. But if it's going to be a hot, sunny day, I would make sure it can get air under there to help it cool. And I don't know the proportion of plant to the size of the jug, but that's something. If somebody tries these and, you know, experiments with it, please give us a call so we can pass it on or say, oh, that doesn't work, don't do that.
And those numbers again are 225-9655. 1-800-557-5723.
Okay, birds.
They're out and about now.
Aren't they? but they're not pecking on my strawberries.
Have you trained them? Or
with the rocks that look like strawberries.
Do you have the rocks out now?
I do.
Oh, okay.
They've been out probably about a month. Take them inside, wash them off. If they've the paint's coming off, repaint them. And that's kind of a winter project where you can sit in front of the fireplace, drink your tea, and paint strawberries. But if we let's zip on to or continue with birds. And the only thing people are using right now is mostly netting. If you have a beautiful cherry tree or an apple tree, put cover it with netting so that the birds can't get to the fruit.
And is that what birds are mostly doing, like getting the fruits off of things?
Or? Cherry trees, apples, yeah. I don't know that you could cover a strawberry patch, but bird netting is available, so you can get that and try that. So I don't have any tree fruit, so I haven't tried anything. You know, some people, because of deer, have gone to chicken wire and have made a frame and then covered that with chicken wire to keep birds away. So if we talk about cats, cats like soft dirt to go to the bathroom and lay in. So if you keep soft dirt covered with a mega amount of mulch, or if you make them a special place away from your garden, it may help them stay away. Mega mulch is what this one person was talking about, and that's like 4 to 6 inches of mulch, and that will keep the cats, because they'll dig a little bit, and when they see it's not going to be soft, then they're supposed to leave.
Okay, we do have a caller.
Oh, good.
We have Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Oh, you there?
Yes, can you hear us?
Oh, okay, yeah, just a quick solution for aphids.
Oh, aphids, okay.
1 to 20 dilution of ammonia to water. Put it in a spray bottle and you spray it on your plants.
Is it necessary?
It's a 1 to 20 dilution ratio.
Okay. Do you have to wash that off the plant?
No. Not to my knowledge. I never have, but,
Okay.
Everything will evaporate off eventually.
Okay. And that doesn't harm the plant at all? And I guess it gives it some nutrients, I would think. Yes?
Like I said, it's a 5% solution, 1 to 20 dilution in it. Works pretty good.
Have you tried vinegar on aphids?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, never even thought of doing that.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
Cats.
Okay,
they like soft dirt. They don't like heavy amounts of mulch because they can't get to the soft dirt. One of the older garden club ladies sits in her chair in her garden with a kid's water pistol. And when the cats comes in, she squirts them with water and then they go away.
Eventually learned.
Well, she didn't say they eventually learned. She just said they go away. So she's still sitting out there. That hasn't. My daughter lives in Texas and she said there, because they have a lot of feral cats, they use orange peel, chili powder, and garlic, and they grind it up and spread that around in the garden. And that keeps the cats away. Also, she takes Irish Spring bath soap and grinds it up in a food grinder and sprinkles that around. And they don't like the smell of the mint. And that keeps the cats away.
So interesting.
if they don't like the smell of mint, can we plant mint? Because as they walk through it, it wafts the minty odor. Perhaps that might help.
Hmm.
So we'll see. That's another thing to try. But you can buy chili oil and spray that. But I'm thinking that that's going to get washed off in the rain.
Yeah.
Where the orange peel, garlic, and soap would last a bit longer. So I don't know how long it would have to be out in the rain and the sun before it lost its fragrance, but anything helps.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So people have put up fences, but it's got to be a high fence because cats can jump. People with cats on their deck, sitting on a railing, sunning, they put tack strips, which I think sounds cruel. But when the cat jumps up there and it gets prickly, then it will go away. So, I mean, people are having to come up with all kinds of things to protect their garden. So if you've come up with a new solution or you're experimenting with something, please call in and let us know, and we will share the information. Deer.
We have three that come by regularly looking for snacks.
Yeah. Well, they say they don't like the smell of raw eggs, and they being scientists, or they don't like kelp.
Okay.
They don't.
You said
like
raw eggs?
Smell of raw eggs.
So, I mean, I guess you'd get that spray that smells like
raw eggs
or something. Because you couldn't put eggs out all the time. That would be costly and difficult.
Very difficult, right. And if raw eggs, when they start to deteriorate, smell like sulfur. So would sulfur work?
Mm-hmm.
Something to try. The kelp, placing kelp around the garden, apparently there's an odor to it that deer don't like.
And I imagine that's also good for your garden.
It would be good for your garden, yeah.
And that would be fairly easy to come by here.
Yeah. The only thing getting kelp is that you have to walk from the shoreline back up to the top of the hill. ammonia. They don't like Dial or Zest soap. Grind it up and spread it out. And I'm thinking that each time it got wet, it would release more fragrance.
I think this is very interesting, this research. I mean, I imagine the scientists sitting there trying different things with the different animals.
Well, one gardening site I like is called Savvy Gardening, S-A-V-V-Y, gardening.com. And you get all kinds of information. And people can post at the end of the articles how it's worked for them, or they tried this. And I love the site. Blood meal, because it has a very strong odor, is supposed to repel deer. I use blood meal as a bulb food, put it on the bulbs when I plant the bulbs. Chili peppers, fabric softener sheets are supposed to keep deer away. So, reading the article.
Certain odors, it sounds like.
Strong odors, or odors that are not typically found in a garden, maybe that's it. People have put old pallets around the fence or the edge of their garden to keep the deer out. Supposedly they can't see to walk on that.
Or they'll get stuck in there. I could see that being awkward.
People have used heavy duty fish line around the garden. People are going to, of course, chain link and then electrical fences to keep the deer out. So, and luckily we don't have moose.
Mm.
So.
Okay, and we do have another caller. Jan, I believe, is joining us. Good morning.
Hi. I have a friend regarding cats in your garden who swears by putting chicken wire down before she plants her vegetables or after when they're seedlings and just burying it under just a half inch of dirt. And then the cats can't dig in there. They get caught in the wire.
That's a good idea.
I've heard that, too. Yes. And they can't dig, so that's what they want to do, and either to lay down or to go to the bathroom. So, yeah.
All right, excellent. Thanks for that tip.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is actually a good idea.
It is. I've recommended that to other people. I'm wondering if you somehow keep it above the soil so that they can't, even when they walk, if you put, some kind of a brace or structure under there to hold it up off the ground where they would step on it a couple times and it would bounce and they wouldn't like that and they would leave. And then it could be almost permanent. Take it off, plant your seeds, put it back. So it's war to keep your garden safe.
And I would imagine by planting it under, though, it might visually be more appealing as opposed to sitting on the surface.
But once it stuff grows up through it.
There you go.
Yeah. And it would be easier to pick if it grew up through that. It might be cleaner also.
Yeah.
And if you get slugs under there, put the tweezers down and grab them. gardening is fun and you find out all kinds of stuff.
It's an adventure.
It is a venture. Dogs. Most people I know who have severe dog problems have gone to a device called Hoot that puts out high, shrill noise. It's motion activated, and dogs don't like, you know, it's that shrill sound that hurts their ears.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps them away. And supposedly you can set this device for the number of feet that you want it away from your garden, 10 feet, 20 feet, or from your front door. So, and I understand they're not very expensive. But this hoot noisemaker doesn't affect cats. It doesn't affect birds.
Hmm.
So, I guess.
And the dogs, is it dogs that dig? Or is it the dogs defecating in your garden? What is the problems that people have with dogs as much?
Could be all of those.
Okay.
I would think,
I mean, some dogs are diggers. I mean,
they
definitely
are. And some dogs like vegetables, and they will eat your lettuce.
That's true.
Your peas. Yeah, they do like vegetables. But it would be something to look up and consider if you are having, and it said severe dog problems. I would think the first thing would be to talk to your neighbor and say, hey, can you keep your dog out of my yard, or can you keep your cat out? Or some people complained about the neighbor's kids. You know, can you keep your kids out of my garden? And I would think that most people would say, oh, I am so sorry, and don't you go over there.
Mm-hmm.
But
and are the problems with kids like digging in the garden?
They said running through the yard.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Oh, lots of calls this morning. Good.
All right. Oh. Sorry, my squeaky chair. And we have Bridget joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, great show this morning.
Thank you.
I've got a couple things to just recommend to people. I've had really good luck with a neem oil product. This is for aphids, called Azitrol. It's a botanical insecticide. It's a repellent, anti-feedant, and insect growth regulator. And I have a greenhouse, and in the past I have had infestations. So now I use this Azitrol if I see any aphids at all, and I've been able to really readily keep them under control with this stuff. You can get it from through Amazon or Territorial Seeds or other places now, and one just the smallest container will last for several seasons worth, so it's pretty economical. And let's see, the chicken wire and the cat issue, I have that. And I get the metal mesh that's a little heavier than, you know, like the classic chicken wire, the stuff that has the square openings. And you can bend that. You can cut it, you know, to the shape of your beds and then kind of bend the edges a little bit to make it stick up above the level of the soil to give your plants room, but you have to kind of be aware of when the time is to take it off so your plants don't get trapped, you know, growing in that stuff. And then one last thing is I have some raised beds that I grow over those black, you know, I don't know what they're made out of, black pipes, you know, small pipe things. That bend, and I go down and get shower curtains, clear shower curtains.
Great idea.
Because it's clearer than Visqueen. You get the medium weight, you don't, not the lightweight, and they seem to last and last. The stuff doesn't crack and deteriorate like Visqueen does, and it's clear. So. Anyway, that works for me.
Those are great ideas. And you told me about the Azitrol before, and I forgot. So thank you for the reminders. Great.
Well, okay.
And a question with that Azitrol, is that something you just spray on and leave, or what? How do you use it?
You spray it on and leave it. You can also put it in the water that you use to water your plants, and the plant will take it up, and it'll be a systemic deterrent as well.
So now Azitrol is not used on vegetables?
Yes, that's what I use it on.
So how long after you water it can you eat the vegetables?
You know what? Let me look here. As I recall, it is there's really no problem with that. I remember reading about that, but I'm not seeing it right on the container right now.
Okay, well, if we decide to use that, that would be something to consider, because aphids will eat everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much, Bridget.
Thank you very much. And we just have about 5 minutes left or so. So if you have any last minute questions or comments, give us a quick call here at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And we may need to have another session to continue.
Yes.
Lots of information here.
Yeah. Okay. We talked a little bit about deers, but when you buy plants and seeds, read to see if it's deer resistant, because I mean nothing ever says, oh, deers love this, but anything that smells like a sulfur compound or urine, their deer are supposed to stay away from. And you can buy online any kind of urine to put in your garden that you want, which I was surprised about. And it cautions, the only one that gives you the caution is Bear. You know, you get a quart of Bear urine, that it is extremely strong, and it lasts and lasts and lasts. And then there's three dots, dot, dot, dot. So it must last forever.
So you use it very sparingly.
Yeah. I would think, you know, I live in a with houses all around me. I don't know that I would want to use it, but anyway.
And would that deter bears, though, or would it attract them?
It says it works as a – it no, it doesn't – didn't say it attracted bears, but it does
deter deers.
Deter other four-legged creatures like deer, dogs, cats, and stuff. But be cautious of the odor. Here's another something that somebody tried. This woman's husband would wear his socks for a week, and she would tie them to a stake in the garden, and that would keep the dogs and cats and critters away. Then chain link fence, fish line, electric fences. But, I mean, everybody has a story of what works for them. And like Bridget called to share, that's wonderful. Let's continue to share.
Okay. So, a lot of good information.
A lot of fun information, yes.
And, yeah, very educational today. And we'll have to check with you again, Lee, for some more topics. Any other last minute
well,
things you want
to... Well, let's go back to bears for a second. To keep bears away, you want to make sure that you keep your garbage cans protected, that bird and dog food, cat food is kept in a closed container and not out in the yard. Barbecue grills need to be kept clean. If you clean fish in your yard, you need to scrub with ammonia or something, Clorox, to keep that smell down. And if a bear is in your yard and you feel threatened, call somebody.
Mm-hmm. And I know very much so that don't put out your stinky garbage until pickup.
Right before
pickup.
Yeah.
Because...
And don't put meat scraps in your compost pile, because it will attract dogs, cats, bears, birds. Yeah. You oftentimes see ravens digging in compost piles, and they've got excellent olfactory, and they can smell something a mile away.
All right. Well, thank you so much,
Lee
Skidmore, for being here, and thanks to folks for calling in. And we'll continue this topic and others as we go along. Lots of great information today.